The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
Finance Minister Simon Harris did announce this week announced the government's savings scheme intending to encourage an investment culture among people who normally put their money into deposit accounts and just leave it there. So here with her assessment of the new initiative is the Business Post Markets consultant, Kathleen Gallagher. Kathleen, good morning.
Good morning.
So what does this scheme actually plan to do?
Yeah, so the scheme is an initiative and it's part of a wider European movement to get everyday people investing in the markets and to kind of, and it's particularly prevalent to the Irish because so much money is in deposits. It's just sitting in cash. And so the idea of the scheme is to give some people an incentive to invest into the market. So stocks and shares, bonds, that kind of thing. And in its essence, it's basically a tax structure. So it's a tax wrapper, and it's basically allowing them to do that in the most tax efficient way possible.
Now, the reluctance to get into stocks and shares is historic, I suppose. I mean, the Aircom scheme where they sold shares in Aircom and many people lost their shirts, maybe put people off. It was their first adventure into stocks and shares, and then they got burnt by it. And then, of course, there was the collapse of the banks when we had the worldwide global recession. And people thought that their money was safe in Bank of Ireland or AIB, and then those shares became worth nothing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, people losing money in the markets does happen all the time. And I think the Irish population does have a lot of nervousness. Like when you speak to the wealth managers and they talk about the clients that they're dealing with, they say there's still those scars there from that period. So there is a lot of hesitancy about getting into the markets. But I think, you know, the government and the industry are very big on financial education as a part of this. So Simon Harris is appointing a ambassador of financial literacy. And there's a big move by all the players to kind of bring in an education on this, that if you invest in a diversified portfolio for the long run, that you will lose money here and there along the way. But the figures show that on average, you do see an uprise.
Now, what's the idea from the state's point of view? What does the state get out of it? Is it to free up money that's doing nothing and they want to get it working for Ireland Inc.? Or is that too grandiose a notion?
Yeah, so I think there's a few things at play here. I mean, one, it's a very big European movement. And if you kind of listen to the speeches that were made by Simon Harris and Robert Troy at the Savings and Investment Forum this week, they talk about it as Ireland kind of showing that they can do some of the big European initiatives here. So it's, there's like a reputational play there for the government. The money, as far as the industry knows, now this hasn't been set out, is it's going to be there. People should be able to invest in anything that's open to a retail investor. So it won't be channeled into Irish investments. They'll be able to invest in the S&P 500, wider European stocks. So it's not freeing up the money to go directly into Ireland, but it is freeing up the money. And the hope is that as the kind of investment sphere matures, then you might have some money flow into things like an infrastructure bond and things like that to get Ireland up and running with some retail investor money.
So it's to try and encourage a culture of investing in the market. This is the first step, really, and then we'll see what follows.
Yes, absolutely. And everyone kind of that came out of that forum was saying that it does seem to be that there's a long-term roadmap here from the government, and this is just the first step.
Now, there's got to be a little bit of a carrot involved here. So will you describe the carrot that the government is dangling in front of us?
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess what they're saying is it'll be very tax efficient. And what that means is that there will be a tax-free threshold to put your money into these accounts. So it's said to be modeled slightly on a Swedish model and slightly on a UK model. So that's talking mid-20K in terms of what those look like in terms of a tax-free amount. And then anything beyond that, they would tax at an annual rate. And if you compare that to the current culture, if you're investing outside of a pension, there's capital gains tax, there's deemed disposal, which means you get taxed every 8 years, even if you're holding on to it. And all of that racks up and takes out some of the money. So this is kind of a scheme in which it'd almost be silly not to put the money in.
Now, it's supposed to be loosely modelled on a Swedish system called Investeringssparkonto, whatever that might mean. And in that scheme, you can get tax-free gains up to €28,000, which, you know, a sizable amount of money. That's your gain, not your investment. So that could be quite attractive to get 28 grand tax-free when you sell your assets.
Yeah, absolutely. And very different to the current structure that people are under. So, yeah, that's a big element of it, this tax-free amount that people can put to work there.
Now, those who are currently investing in shares and bonds and so on, might they not have a complaint that this is being tailored for particular structures? And we don't know what those structures are yet. But there are people who are already active in the markets and saying, what about me? I'm still being taxed in the old way.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there is a kind of understanding that there's a disjoint there between the two systems. And Simon Harris has made noises about getting rid of some of the taxes or at least leveling them out as time goes on. But for those people that are invested, what you'll likely see is when these wrappers become available, you'll see quite a lot of their money start flowing in through them. And that would kind of be their way around it, I'd say.
Now, with the mandatory pension scheme that's been introduced for those who don't have a pension, there are going to be, you know, companies involved in structuring all of this and fees to be paid. Is that the idea with this new scheme as well, that the various companies will assemble the portfolios under government auspices and they will charge fees?
So, based on the systems that Simon Harris has modeled it on, that is not what currently happens. So if you look at the Swedish system or the UK system, they offer this tax wrapper, but what that's invested in is very much up to the person or the financial advisor that they're dealing with. So there won't be this same kind of structure that you see with the pension system that's come in.
I'm just wondering how that would be distinguished from ordinary investing in shares in the market. You know, how will they distinguish the wrapped ones versus the unwrapped ones?
Yeah, so this is down to the kind of provider, the platform provider, so you will, or the brokers that are out there. So they will, when a person signs up to use their platform, they'll kind of ask them, are they going to use the tax wrapper? The person will probably say yes or no, most likely yes. And then it's up to that provider to then send the information off to the government. So the onus is on those companies to do the heavy lifting on that. So it's very much like people doing ordinary investing. It's just there's this additional incentive for them, for this tax-free incentive.
And the question then of fee structure, will the government be controlling that? Because you might end up not paying a lot of tax, but paying a lot of fees, which would be, there'd be no point in that.
Yeah. I mean, again, experience kind of shows that the competition that evolves from these by the providers means that there's like a little bit of a race to the bottom. They kind of start setting the fees quite low and people automatically pick the one that offers the less fees. So I think the government will be hoping for natural competition there. But obviously, if the fees start to look quite high, then the government would probably need to step in.
Now, Kathleen, it has been announced, and politicians are very good at announcing things, sometimes many times over. But when will it be launched?
Yeah, so I mean, they've set quite an aggressive timeline. They said they wanted it in the next budget and they want it to be up and running by 2027. Now, some people say that's very achievable. There's lots of models that the government can kind of copy paste. It will all be fine. Some people point out that auto enrollment took quite a long time to get up and running. And, you know, to get the nitty gritty, it could take much longer than that. So there's a little bit, I think it's kind of cautious optimism at the moment that they will be up and running by 2027. But as we all know, politics is not quite that simple.
The devil will be in the detail, Kathleen. So the question is, at the banks, I mean, they're going to lose a big stash of money that's sitting comfortably on deposit, earning little or nothing for the depositor. The banks have the use of that money, of course. If that money is withdrawn and goes into this scheme, clearly the banks won't be too happy.
No, absolutely not. And my colleague did a piece of work in terms of what that would mean for them. But I suppose one of the things is both banks do have a kind of wealth management arm that would look to benefit from this. So you could just kind of see a shift in terms of what happens on their balance sheets. And they haven't, like AIB have come out and welcomed the scheme. Bank of Ireland is channeling all of its queries in through Davy. So they aren't knocking it. So it seems that the government has kept them on side in its plans so far.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how all of this unfolds in the coming months, if not years, Kathleen. But Kathleen Gallagher, markets correspondent with the Business Post, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
The Pat Kenny Show, Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.